to see everyone out this beautiful day that we can call a fall day. It's good to see Harry here. I'm not going to give you a bear hug today. Okay. Early in the mornings, about 5:15, I'll send my wife a text. Because I don't want to wake her up. And I always say, I love you, in the text, and I always give her a kiss. We show those expressions of affection, don't we, to those that we love. When I was in China several years ago, in Shenzhen, China, a city of about 6 million people, I learned that in the Chinese culture, there are some different things. For one thing, the women in Shenzhen, which is not that far from Hong Kong, very hot weather, they carry umbrellas. They don't want to tan. But a lot of American women want to tan. But they don't want to tan in China. And another thing they didn't do is... boys and girls didn't hold hands. You never saw in that city of 6 million people boys and girls ever holding hands or kissing in public. They don't do that. That's not their custom. You'll see a lot of young ladies holding hands, walking down the sidewalk, which is very odd too. But they just don't show that public affection between men and women. Their culture is very different. And when I grew up in an old-fashioned environment where years ago, you know, family members just didn't say, I love you. They didn't kiss you. That just didn't happen. Any of you have that kind of environment when you were young? Yeah. One time I was preaching, and I don't know, remember the topic, but I told the audience, I said, when I grew up, I never, ever remember somebody telling me they loved me. And Lee Ragsdale in the audience said, I love you, Jeff. But that's true. My grandfather just didn't express that kind of affection. And I cannot remember anybody ever telling me as a child they loved me. Love you, GW. You too, Ashlyn. Don't forget you. But I knew I was loved, that I was cared for, that I was thought of. I knew that. God does not come out verbally and tell us every day at 5 o'clock in the morning, I love you. But He loves you. That's the theme of the Bible. God loves you. I want to talk about being loved by God. And usually when we think of that subject, we go to John 3:16, don't we? I mean, it's the love verse of the Bible, right? And everybody knows John 3:16. I got tickled on my middle school bus a week or so ago, and they started talking about theology. Can you imagine that? And I find it's funny because the F word gets thrown around in my bus all the time. Middle school and high school, both. And for them to actually be talking about the Bible, and one of them was trying to quote John 3:16 and couldn't get it out, so I got it out for them. And then they were all impressed. And some of the kids later, they said, we want you to talk about the Bible more, which is wonderful, unless it gets me in trouble with the public school system. Which I've known bus drivers get in trouble because they talked about religion on their school bus. they've gotten in trouble and said, that's a no-no, you can't do that. Since we're in the Bible Belt, it's a little easier to do. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, this verse is so full of information. God so loved, right? And he loved the world, everyone. That means every individual. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, as we sing in Bible school class, right? And he gave. He gave. This is a free gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's something God has given to us. And it's his only begotten Son, the only one. The only one. And this invitation to come to God is to whoever, whoever you are. And the choice is between perishing or eternal life. I tell you what, we ought to choose eternal life every time. We serve the God of love. And this is a Bible theme. In fact, does anybody know what is the love book of the Old Testament? The love book of the Old Testament is, and you might say Hosea, because that's a very emotional book that shows God's love for sinful people and his passion to draw them back to him. It's a beautiful book for the prophet Hosea. But no, it's the book of Deuteronomy. If you get out your concordance and you look up the word love, you'll find all these references to love in the book of Deuteronomy, which is the book of Deuteronomy. The word means the second giving of the law. It's after the Israelites had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and Moses is going to leave them, wants to talk to them and about their history and what they've experienced in leaving Egypt and in the wilderness, and how God was with them and took care of them, and they developed this relationship with God in the wilderness for those 40 years. And Moses tells them, God loves you, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your strength. He told them. It's a book of love. I'll give you some examples of that. Look at this. Because he loved your fathers, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, therefore, he chose their descendants after them. And he personally, I love that, brought you from Egypt by his great power. We have a personal God, not a deist God way off in the corner that doesn't care about us, but a God who loves us. Look at this verse. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples. Who chose this little family of Jacob. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But why did he set his love on it? That because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The Lord set his love on you. In the 7th chapter, he says, then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that is the old covenant, the covenant they got at Mount Sinai, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you in the land which he swore to your fathers, forefathers to give you. And then look at this. God's love is not just verbally expressed, but it is shown. It was shown in bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. But look at this text. in Deuteronomy as well. He, God, executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and shows His love for the alien, get that, by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien. That's someone from another country, right, who's in your land. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. Isn't that something? He shows His love to the orphan, to the widow, to the alien. He works through people to reach out to these people in need. He works through you to show His love. He motivates you with His Spirit through the Word to do these things. And He legislates that you ought to be doing these things in His Word, the Bible. Look at this. Psalm 146. Again, we see an active, loving God. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, those who want to do what's right in God's sight. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but He thwarts the way of the wicked. When I was 3 days old, my grandpa said, we came and we took you out of the crib and you were all wet and on the verge of pneumonia. I became a ward of the state. You know what that's also called? An orphan. And I'm not little orphan Annie. I became a ward of the state. Never was adopted. Never. That kind of teed me off. But I was loved, and I knew I was loved, so it really didn't matter. And my grandpa taught me to care for all the widows in the neighborhood. I pulled their weeds. I dug their flower bulbs up. I did chores for them. I trimmed their bushes because my grandpa believed in caring for the widows because God said, you love those widows. You love them. He's an active, loving God. And Jeremiah talks about the Israelites going to captivity in Babylon for 70 years because of their sins. But then he also says, God's going to bring you back. He's going to bring you back to the land. And God's going to be there. He's going to be there calling you back. He's going to be there looking for you to come back. The Lord appeared to Jacob, that's Israel, the people of Israel in captivity. He appeared to him from afar saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you out of captivity now with loving kindness. History shows that that's what happened. That's what happened. This little bitty country with such a small population has been known throughout history to have its existence. There are other nations with great power that died, and we have to dig up their remains. But this nation continued to exist. Why? Because God drew them with loving kindness. Because through them, He would bring His Son into the world. He would bring Jesus Christ born at Bethlehem to be the Lamb of God that would take away our sins. He's an active, loving God. And God's love is real. It's the real thing. The one who does not love does not know God. For God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested, made known in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. This is real love, John's saying. Here's real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And send His Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice to cover sin, for our sins, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's a reality of history that Jesus Christ was crucified under Pontius Pilate, the Roman procurator of Palestine. He was crucified. The Roman historian Tacitus and Suetonius, they tell us that too. It's a reality of history that Jesus was publicly displayed for our sins as an expression of the love of God. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." And he prays that Christians, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, where are your roots? What are you grounded in? Are you grounded in the love of God? Is that where your roots are? So that when you grow and develop as a Christian, your limbs reach out to help and to care and to reach others with the good news of Jesus Christ. You, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, every Christian, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Those waiting on the table, please come up. In the Lord's Supper, we are remembering our Savior. His body sacrificed, His blood shed. We remember that our God is not distant and uncaring. That our God is love. That's His nature. And that God personally loves every one of us. Even though some of us here today have not been aware of that, He loves you personally. We remember that the death of Jesus on the cross was the demonstration, a public demonstration of the love of God. He sent His Son to be the sacrifice to cover